Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney, Benton Harbor. Emergency manager Joseph Herring should be fired. There's no question about that. We must push for immediate suspension of all emergency managers. They symbolize the destruction of democracy by corporate power. On Wednesday, July the 25th, we will be in Lansing at the Supreme Court to discuss and to hear the oral arguments of why Public Act 4 should be on the ballot. That is correct. And let me give you several reasons why the emergency manager does not work. Joseph Harris has a complete study. We have discovered that Joseph Harris is deceitful. His communication is inaccurate. Mr. Harris proclaimed that the city of Benton Harbor has a balanced budget and a cash surplus. The 2011 and the 2012 audit revealed that the city actually has a budget deficit of approximately $600,000 under Mr. Harris' leadership. The city is sued for non-payment. On Thursday, we was in court as Mr. Harris once again is being sued. Mr. Harris has executed a very poor contract with Benton Township without input from leaders or the community. Wasteful spending. Mr. Harris wanted to limit city resources during the fiscal crisis. Items include excessive raises and salary increases for his buddies and his buddies only. The Carl Brown Economic Development Center was closed, and it should be open for the people. Political liability. Antagonistic. Mr. Harris is confrontational. He refused to participate anything that has to do with the residents of Benton Harbor. Mr. Harris has failed to post the city tax millage on the November ballot. This error would likely create a loss for the city in excess of $1 million at least. Mr. Harris has failed to train local elected leaders to completely manage Benton Harbor. Mr. Harris is not the man for this position. He refused to work with the city elected officials. How do you profess and desire to put the city back on solid fiscal ground, simultaneously refusing to work with the people, refusing to work with the elected officials, refusing to do anything that would help the city of Benton Harbor? Mr. Harris has resorted to name-calling. Oh, yes, he has. Unprofessional, insulting remarks to elected leaders and staff. Since Mr. Harris arrived, the city operating deficit has increased. Elected leaders, citizens, stockholders get little information. What has been received is largely false and inaccurate. Several lawsuits, unpaid vendors have surfaced. Out of respect for the people, Benton Harbor and their elected leadership, elected leaders should have the opportunity to meet and interview and approve any advancement or any manager. The people of Michigan must demand the ouster of all, not some, all emergency managers. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yeah. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day Even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in all flesh. Shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the dangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country tears of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I say. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the hiking alligators of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring. From Stone Mountain of Georgia, let freedom ring. From Lookout Mountain of Tennessee, let freedom ring. From every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. And I tell you, it is an honor and a pleasure for all the listeners to be listening. I tell you, we almost broke the bank last week. Great job, everybody. But let's say this. The fight for class awareness is anything but simple. One thing we do know is that the revolutionaries have to engage in the fight before them, playing midwife to that awareness and its struggle to be born. Oh, I'm excited today. I'm excited just to be here. And I tell you, the city of Benton Harbor is going up in flames. You wouldn't believe it unless you were there. July 25th, we will be at the Supreme Court for oral arguments about this Public Act 4. You must come. Be there. We're leaving Benton Harbor at 6 o'clock in the morning so we can make sure we get there and have a seat so we can witness history in the making. And remember, all, not some, all emergency managers must go. But I do want to say this, and I want to read just a little something for you folks, so something sometimes people forget that, you know, we still boycotting Whirlpool products. So I'm telling you this. Listen to this quote. Whirlpool, what a whack company. Whirlpool is a natural catastrophe. Whirlpool, it drags you under the sea. What they do to the people in Benton Harbor, they are due to you and me. And on that note, let me bring on my co-host and my friend, Ralph Point. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening intently, and I'm glad to hear that. And I've spoken to Lynn from the prison, and she has a message for the people, and she thanks you and honors you for the work you've done educating all of us about what's coming down the pike. And this emergency manager, I like your theme. All emergency managers must go because it's coming to you next.
That's
and so
it,
we must keep informing people as to what's coming to them next. And I would like to add one, as we had talked about before, last year, what's coming to you is a worse economy. And what's coming to you next year is an economy worse than this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to begin to prepare for that in every way we can, understanding that people with very little money have difficulty in preparing for a tougher economic situation. But it won't hurt so bad if the punch that hits you see coming. And people should see this punch coming, and therefore they will be able to keep their sanity fighting against it. And I would like for you to go over the companies beside Whirlpool not to buy, because as fate would have it, I have a used dishwasher that was given to me 25 years ago. It was used, and I'm in the market for another one. So I would like to know what companies I can buy and I from. Many people are in that same fix. And I would also say to people, I'm looking around to auctions because people are being, you know, taken out of their homes so fast. And the auctioneers and the pickers are going around in just like grave diggers, you know, taking the things that people have bought. And, you know, they're way down the line. A big company comes and takes over. There's mortgages. A company buys 50 homes. And they sell for peanuts the right for somebody to come in and strip those homes, or people are stripping those homes on their own. They're no worse off. They are no worse than the people who have the contracts to strip the homes. They are just early entrepreneurs. And when they close these houses down, these mortgages, and people move out, which I say stay in and make them put you out and go back in tomorrow, because they don't have the forces to do anything about that. And I don't think that a system will give people a sentence for going back in their own home. So I'm saying we must say go back in your own home, because if you don't, some local entrepreneur, we call them thieves, will break into your house and take all of the stuff out. And then we have little thieves who buy from thieves legally, and they will sell dishwashers and everything else you have in your home. So I don't want to have to repeat the message. So I'm looking to get a new dishwasher. And for all of those people who have the ability to pay cash for anything having anything to do with dishwashers, wash machines, refrigerators that are associated with Whirlpool, must be cut out. So if you give us that list again, either today or next week, about where we must not buy, point number one. Point two from Lynn in prison. She says the prisons, with their arbitrary, vicious, violent rules and regulations against the prisoners, are the same thing we as the minority community face every day. They make up rules as they go. The cop on the street interprets them, just like the prison guard interprets the rules and regulations. And you know, when you go to court, they always decide on this, always take the side of the person oppressing us. And Lynn is looking to get a hit this week, because guess what evil she has done in the prisons and got caught for the second time?
Ah.
As a great lawyer, she helps inmates with their cases. And she says the women in there, many have never had a letter from home. They have never had a decent lawyer. They are there because the system works against them, and it works against the families and the children. So she can't help herself. She works to free them and get them out, but it's against the law in prison to have the papers of another inmate in your possession. And as she says, there are no office hours in prison. You see someone on the way to lunch, you see them on the way someplace, and they say, Miss S., I got a problem I think you can help me with. And when she says she can't take their word for it, she must read the papers. And so she says she's not going to involve people on the outside on a story that she does not know is true. So she reads the papers, and she gets caught with them. That is against prison law, and they will sanction you for that. That means you have no commissary. That means the right to buy stuff in prison. You lose your phone calls. You lose your right for people to visit you. You lose your email. So this is what she's looking at. And for she has been caught this time, she cannot practice as a lawyer, so she helps people write their papers. So she helped a woman write her papers to one of the circuits because she says she's in jail on a ridiculous situation. And in order to document that the papers were sent, she emails it to me. How subversive is that? Because in prison, a lot of the inmates send something, and if it's 1 ounce or one fraction of an ounce overweight, the papers don't go through. If they can't understand the writing, the papers don't go through. So to document that the papers were sent, she sends it to me. But she sends it to me a day ahead of the prisoner who probably had to scratch around to get money for postage. And so it was sent out to me before it was sent out to the Second Circuit. What crime is that? It's subversion of prison regulations. So in order to do justice, she is being sanctioned for doing justice. And I said, so here, and then she says, the interesting thing she notices, this is the way the minority, not minority, people of color live in America, the oppressed people in America. This is arbitrary, what's the word for it? Arbitrary, vicious, violent acts towards us. And then that leads me right on to the stop and frisk. So we have 2% of, you know, like 1.5 to 2% success on the part of the Army of Occupation, stopping and frisk. So that's a very low percentage. But 97.75 or 98% of our people are stopped and frisked for that 1.5-2% people, and 2.5% that higher in every other community. Are they stopping and frisking them? But if they stopped and frisked in Colorado, just think of the terrorism, the internal terrorism that they never call that. They just say, here's a nut here, and there's a nut there. No arguing that there's a nut here or there. But if Homeland Security spent all of the time bothering other people looking at internal problems, maybe we wouldn't have this kind of death. And I say that this farce of marching to end the shootings, the internal shootings we have among our community, can be no more than a farce, because we had the same organization, the NACP, trying to destabilize you, was in New York with Ben Jealous leading a silent march. And I screamed, silent. No, we want to raise hell. These people are not on our side. Let's side with the people who are raising hell. Reverend Pinckney is raising hell about the emergency fiscal managers. We must raise hell all over the country about emergency fiscal managers, because it's coming to you next. We must raise hell about the corporate takeover of America, as you have done with Whirlpool. We must not be silent. And you see, I'm getting excited about you, Reverend. You just have to stop raising these terrible issues, you know, about education and the money that we spend, and we must understand that when you talk about the prison system, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep people in jail, where $15,000 a year gets us a decent education if it's applied properly. So we have to stop this stop and frisk, and we must make a decent society for all people that will end injustices. You can't do it with an army of oppression. We call the police. They are the local army of oppression in our community, and you have experienced out there, and you tell us all about it, in Benton Harbor, the missing people who are dead. What's going on there? So I says, you excite me with your program, and I'm sorry if I get carried away when I talk about it, but I think of the $15,000 a year to educate a child as opposed to $201,000 a year to keep them in prison, and we talk about the new slavery. So, Reverend Pinckney, I'm going to have to apologize for getting carried away, but I say it's your fault.
Yay.
Because you're raising these issues and getting me all excited about where we are. And as I must remind people again, we told you what was going to happen last year. It's happened this year. The economy is tightening up. Let me tell you one more time. We predicted corn to go up from 10 to 15%. It's already up 20%, and that's going to affect everything else. The price of fuel, everything. It's everything that we're going through, and it's going to continue. It is on the rise as we speak. Beef prices will come down for a brief moment, because the farmers can't afford to keep it. But the moment they get rid of all of their cows and the price goes down, it's going to skyrocket again. And so this is what we're looking to next year. And if you can't stop, if Reverend Pinckney and his people cannot, and I want to be one of them, can't stop this whirlpool, can't stop these emergency fiscal managers, can't stop them from digging canals and rivers out to service private yachts, can't stop them from taking over airports to service the corporations, we're in big trouble. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and hope to see you again. It was great in Baltimore, and we must have a discussion of what's happening with political parties, but you will give the word when we go, and on terms of how we help to prepare people for the coming onslaught that is there. And I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to give it up to you, Reverend, and tell me when to come back. Thank you.
Believe me, it's my pleasure. I tell you, this thing is going around today. You know, we are going to have to start telling people, talking a little bit more about this fascism and different things like that that's happening today in the world. But we don't want it to sneak up on people, because most times people don't quite understand that it's happening right now. You see, I know for a personal fact that in the city of Benton Harbor, we actually have fascism right there. You got the emergency manager, and you got the corporation Whirlpool. And they're controlling everything, and they are, both is against the people. So we do have our issues there, but we're going to continue to fight. But I tell you this, Ralph, I want to bring you back on so you can finish talking about Lynn a little bit, but I got to bring on Roz now. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Me too. I'm so excited to be here today. I want to say that we're always told to speak up.
That's right.
And when
I don't think there's no other way but to speak up. And I think that should be one of the things that we have to do regardless. You know, we have to put ourselves aside and deal with this thing, because it's getting bad now. It's getting worse and worse and worse every single day. But listen, I want you to talk to me about the FBI a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the FBI. Tell me what they're doing, and tell me what y'all plan to do.
Okay, well, we are planning to call the FBI, which I called everybody on Friday. I called the FBI. I called my assembly person at Brownlee in Sacramento, my state senator Pavley's office, my city representative, my county representative, and no one could tell me who LAUSD was accountable to.
Mm.
This is not the first time it happened. It's like the money floats over and they do whatever they want, which
Absolutely.
They do. So I'm going to speak up. We just had this horrendous nightmare happen in our country with the shooter. At LAUSD, From their negligence, they kill off teachers and students. They abuse teachers and they abuse students. And this must stop. And I am not going to stop speaking up until something happens. But Brian Claypool wants us to keep calling the FBI, which told me to call the sheriffs, which I did. It's like a runaround. And we have told Brian, and we're waiting to hear what he wants us to do.
Well, may I talk Roz on this issue?
Yes.
Yes, you see, unions, politicians, and corrupt political organizations, political parties, are all the same. You vote them in, and then they stop doing the work for you. How is it that the unions got out of control there? How is it that they don't support teachers who are working on behalf of the students? How is it that they don't support that which is good in the system? How is it they abandon people who speak out? And so we must do, and I hope that you're doing, as Reverend Pinckney has said, burn your NAACP card. It's an organization that said they were going to do A, and they start doing B. We must stop them. Unions say A, and they're doing B. Political parties say A, and they're doing B. We must stop our support. We must organize against them. Even though, as Lynn Stewart says, the most difficult place to speak is not with strangers, but with those who are most close or personal to you, in your church, in your family, in your social organizations. You must say, stop supporting these people. This is difficult. I have no trouble with that. Maybe I have a mean spell in me. I say,
no, but I like your attitude, Ralph. You're great. And I send
out
emails all the time to get people to stand up for themselves, because the union and the school district and the lawyers, they're all in bed together. This morning I had a call from a woman talking about my workers' comp case, 20 years of such corruption as in my case. People are dying like Charles Smith. Listen to me, I'm not doing so good. We all must stand up, and we all must speak up to stop this corruption. It's like an aphrodisiac to the criminal minds.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You like that? And we have a bullet train now that the governor loves. You know where the first stop is? To the prison. So you can take all these officials, load them on, and drop them off.
Wow. Hey, you know what? That is truly, truly amazing. But, Ross, you got to start letting me know when is they're going to have their board meeting, the school board meeting. And then while I'm there, I can also meet with Fletcher himself. But I cannot meet with them unless I get that information. I need that information so I can start making plans to come.
Were waiting for them to start up again because it's summer break, and we wanted to make sure. And we would love for you to meet with Brian Claypool, too.
Okay. But
I don't have to say to you, Reverend, make them bargain for our support. Just don't give your support away. Just like the unqualified support for Obama, and there's no demand for the workers. We must say, no, you do A or B, or we're not there for you when it comes to the voting booth. And so
absolutely,
we must keep this in mind, but I know I'm preaching to the choir, because I know Reverend Pinckney has been doing that and will continue to do this in all of his meetings, you know, with those so-called leaders who are misleading.
Yes.
Judas goats, I think they're called in the Bible. False
absolutely
leaders in the Bible. Continue.
Yes.
Sorry.
Right.
Amen.
No, it's fine. You're fabulous, Ralph. I love everything you have to say, and I've learned so much, and your attitude today is incredible. Yes, we need the FBI here investigating LAUSD. It's bigger than Penn State. LAUSD has turned around. They don't even look when these kids are sexually abused, and they know about it for years. They have preventable deaths with teachers when they could have secured the fire extinguishers, like in Charles's case, and how sick I am in my case. There's so many things going on there that is so wrong, so unconscionable, so horrific and disgusting. And we're
going to
ask a
question to our audience. Hey, Roz got it right. It's bigger out there in L.A. than it is in Penn State. What is the difference between L.A. and Penn State? Take a moment to think about that, folks. Take a moment to think about that. Thank you.
Money. There's so much money involved there, so much money to these candidates that buy their way in and do nothing, don't even know what's happening at the school level. We need to educate every child. It's like a gift. It comes back to us. Once they're educated, they become important, empowered citizens in the community. When I was working, I was so happy to think I got an education. I had a job. It was just so exciting. I could pay for things. I could pay for my apartment and my car. It's just so empowering, so wonderful. We need to give it to these kids so they can have their dreams and they can go on and they can be just wonderful members of society. And we are denying them this, all of the children, no matter what color they are. We are hurting all of them.
You know one thing, Roz, we have to continue this fight. We got to fight for them. We got to put our own feelings behind us and stand up and fight for what's right, because that's the problem. We don't have enough people fighting today. And that has created this mess that we're in today. And the haves, what they're doing now, they're still taking. They're taking, and pretty soon there won't be anything left. We won't have anything to fight for. But I tell you one thing, when we get hungry enough, we will fight. And on that note, Roz, I tell you what, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. I'm going to bring on Mary after that, so you go ahead. Say what your heart desires.
Okay, and if we don't do something, we have enough oil and gas in this country to take care of our own, so we don't have to be buying it from another country. If we want jobs in this country, we could have jobs. We're going to have a revolution here. We are really going to have a revolution. This is disgusting. Anyway, everybody has to stand up. I heard from a wonderful friend of mine that has helped me, who had a wonderful experience at LAUSD. But if good people do not, there's that saying, if they don't stand up and speak up, then this continues. And we must all stand up together. And I'm going to continue the fight to my last dying breath. I hope LAUSD's heard this. I hope Workers' Comp. I hope everybody has. Because I'm not stopping.
And that's beautiful. And whatever you do, do not forget to let me know when they're having the meeting. And then I can make plans to be there.
Right. And we're just waiting because school stopped and we wanted to make sure about everything. But you are right about the emergency managers. If people don't think that it's happened yet in this country, it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
This country, in my opinion, is in the toilet. We need to stand up and take back our country.
Hey, remember this, the revolution is today. We got to get out there and take back, because that's what I believe in doing. On that note, Roz, I got to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm praising God, Reverend, and I want you to know that the people I've been communicating with are so excited over the prospect of our having you in Atlanta for a Black August rally. As soon as you know what day you're going to be here, I can start putting out the press releases.
Absolutely. My plan to be there is I'm looking at the third Saturday. In August. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that sounds wonderful.
I believe it's the 18th, if I'm correct.
The 18th.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. So the thing is that we want to plan a great Black August. You know, Black August is a time to reflect and a time to organize and a time to assemble ourselves and determine what steps need to be taken. So having you here for the Black August rally, I plan it for that weekend. And I want you to know that in Georgia we're having a lot of problems, as you know, as far as the legal system. I won't say the justice system, because we know there is no justice in this system. As you know, COINTELPRO agents probably have their finger on my dial to cut me off if I say something that they don't like. But let me let you know right now that we have men dying right now, prisoners in the prison hospital because they're on a hunger strike. These are the Georgia labor strikers. They stopped working for free because they weren't even getting decent meals. They made some simple requests, and they went on a labor strike in December 2010, and they 37 of them are still missing, as far as I understand, missing.
Mm.
They've probably been stuck in solitary someplace ever since. They're considered the leaders of this labor strike. Georgia prisoners went on strike for, I think, 5 to 7 days in December 2010, and nothing has been right since that time, and, of course, nothing was right before that time. Now, I want to say something about the United States of America, something that affects everyone who's listening, and that is the Farm Bill, the Farm Bill. Now, for NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, they appropriated $642 billion, with a B, $642.5 billion for National Defense Authorization Act in terms, thinking in terms of attacking Syria or Iran, and also putting together concentration camps for Americans and others. And they appropriated $642 billion for war and defense and concentration camps, but that money has to be made somewhere. So this farm bill, they want to cut $16.1 billion off food stamps and school lunch programs. That means, I read last night that Minnesota said if that happens, they may not have food stamp program at all. School lunch, school breakfast, and food stamps. You, your money that people use to subsidize struggling families, and there are many, many, many more families on food stamps than ever before, your money will be taken and used for concentration camps and wars to help other people have liberty, they say. They say it's for human rights that they're having all these wars that we're having to go hungry and go without jobs to finance. So everybody needs to go online and study this farm bill. Now, here's a phone number for you for the Senate switchboard. It's 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. So that you can call your senator and let them know, take some of the darn money out of NDAA, the part they got for concentration camps, and put it to feeding hungry people. Now, another thing we got going on is Warren Lee Hill case. Georgia is getting ready to execute a mentally ill man named Warren Lee Hill tomorrow. He's a black young man. Now, I want you to know something. This man is mentally ill. He's been mentally ill for years and years. He killed his girlfriend because he was mentally ill, and they put him a cellmate in his cell, and he supposedly beat the cellmate to death in his sleep with a board of wood with nails driven through it. Now, I say it's time to stop begging these people to stop executing the mentally ill and make death penalty cost something. Make it cost too much. Warren Hill's family and the family of his victim need to sue if they execute Warren Hill tomorrow. Number one, a mentally ill man got no business with a cellmate. He should have been in isolation in a mental hospital, not a prison. Number two, where did he get a board of wood? Where did he get nails? You cannot get rid of the inmates you don't like by putting them in a cell with people that you know will kill them because they're dangerous and psychotic. So this is what's going on, and instead of them getting the prison straight, they intend to kill the man because he's mentally ill, and he did probably what they set him up to do, and that's kill this other inmate. I've heard of them putting people they don't like in dangerous situations. So tomorrow they intend to execute Warren Lee Hill and wipe their hands of the matter. But I already called the Attorney General here in Georgia, and I said, if Georgia kills Warren Lee Hill tomorrow, then people, the abolitionists, instead of standing around with candlelight vigils, you need to get those families and help them sue the state of Georgia because that man didn't have any business with somebody in his cell because he was already psychotic, had killed somebody, and he got a long history of mental illness. And then, where did he get a weapon, a board of wood with nails in it? That's negligence. So if we start making these states pay for what they're doing instead of just standing around with candles and singing, we would see some changes. These people are not motivated by what's right and wrong. They're not motivated by morals because they have none. Don't look for them to make a moral decision to stop executing mentally ill people. Every time they execute a mentally ill person, it is the state to blame, because I am a family member of someone who was a psychotic mentally ill person, and I'm here to tell you they have stripped the families of the right to get treatment for these people. They cannot force treatment unless they're a danger to self and others. And so how are you going to prove that until you already got a body? Okay? So this is the situation. When they called the woman whose son went into that movie theater, the Joker, and killed all those people, they called the woman who was the mother of that young man, and she said, "You got the right person." She said that because she already knew her son was mentally ill, obviously. But
right,
why
absolutely.
Would she not get him committed? The reason is because they got these stupid laws where the person who's mentally ill themselves must agree to treatment. And that is because they want to save them out of prison. They want to keep them out of mental hospitals and treatment. So they will kill people, because when they do kill someone, then they go to jail, and then the prison investors make up to $4 million per person. If they get them for life, $4 million. So they're not trying to stop these murders. So do not pay any attention to those people on TV standing around talking about what a shame it is. If they thought it was a shame, they would overhaul the new health system and put new illness back in a preventive mode instead of standing around and waiting on somebody to prove they're dangerous by killing someone. And so we need to do something about Georgia killing Warren Lee Hill tomorrow for a murder that he never should have been given an opportunity to do. Who gave him that weapon? How did a mentally ill man get a weapon like that, and why did he even have a roommate? Both those families need to sue. And I told you last week that the reason they didn't let me back on, Reverend, to wrap up, is because I was going to let you and the audience know that I am filing charges against Ben Jealous for pushing me.
Hold on. You said Ben Jealous of the NAACP?
Ben Jealous of the NAACP. And a woman asked me, I was going to go this week.
Are you saying the president of the NAACP?
He pushed me hard as he could. If I hadn't stumbled around, I would have fallen on the ground. And now in retrospect, I wish I had let him fall on the ground. The man pushed me hard as he could. I was at the last Troy Davis rally in Atlanta on September 18th. They killed him on the 23rd. Now, you may know, a lot of people know, that I came up with this initiative for justice. And I felt like if his sister used her time before the cameras to call for a boycott if they kill her brother, I felt like that might help them make another decision as far as killing her brother was concerned. So I had fixed up these flyers, and I went down there, and I gave it out to everybody I could, letting them know that you need to stop begging for justice. We're doing the marches, and we're doing the songs from the civil rights era, but why is it that everybody other than Reverend Pinckney has forgotten that these people are money motivated?
Mm.
If you want to affect change, you have to affect the dollar. All they really care about is the money. They do not care if you march and sing. They clap their feet to that. That helps to alert other people to the problem. A rally support from other people, that's what it does. It doesn't affect them and their decisions one bit, but it does make the public aware of the problem. So it's important to do your rallies. It's important to do marches, but the way you affect decision makers is to affect the dollar bill. If you
That's
have
it.
Not got a financial protest going, you don't have anything that's going to be effective against these people. They don't care about the Occupy children out sleeping on the ground. They
don't
endure.
As a matter of fact, that's the way it is. Well, listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to bring on Libby. Go right ahead.
Reverend, we got
another threat to American sovereignty through a treaty with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Now, they want to give over to the United Nations some decision-making ability about our disabled Americans. And they say that what this will do, Article 7 gives the government the right to override every parental decision regarding a disabled child. We know they want to take control of the children. Here the deal is, they don't care anything about disabled people. My brother, they secretly arrested him, murdered him, kept him 18 days lying and saying they didn't have him, murdered him, and the Obama administration blocks any explanation as far as telling us even how they killed him, much less investigating his murder. So now you tell me how much these people in Congress, and I've written all of them, in the media, and I've written all of them, in the White House, and I guess I've got that proof of service, they are breaking the law to hide that lynching because they think that black people will not vote for this so-called black administration that hides the lynching of a mentally and physically disabled man, hiding him from his family, his social worker, and his heart drug in order to kill him. And then you got these people who pretend to care about disabled people are steadily hiding information and still censoring me to keep me from letting you know where their heart really is. Their heart is in the wallet.
That's right.
So you hit the wallet and
you
hit the heart.
Capitalistic system. That's it. You said the right word. Listen, Ralph, did you want to make a quick comment before I bring
Yes, I was going to see if it was proper for me to say to Mary Neal, I love you on your program.
Thank
that
you.
Was sweet. That was sweet.
I love you, Ralph.
Sweet.
I love you.
Hey, that's
I
beautiful.
I love all of our audience. I love Reverend Pinckney. And Ralph, you can come to Atlanta for the Black August Rally.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, listen.
I love you all, too. I have to say, you're a gift from God in my life.
All right. Well, listen, I got to bring on Libby. Libby, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm looking at the blog, bafanco.org, and I'm wondering if you'd like to hear something about information about Fred Upton, which is not necessarily new. Some of it might be new.
Well, let's listen
or
to it.
That dialysis land deal. So it's
oh,
up to you.
Hey, let's have the dialysis land deal. Let's hear about that.
Okay.
That's smoking.
Okay. This is on bhbanco.org, and this was reprinted in the blog from the Herald Palladium newspaper, which is the Whirlpool Company newspaper in Berrien County, Michigan. And every now and then you can get some truth out of that newspaper, and we'll see what Reverend Pinckney has to say about this. A new dialysis center is being built in Benton Harbor on what should have been parkland. Construction crews are already laying the foundations at 338 8th Street, but a Michigan Department of Natural Resources official confirmed Tuesday that the property is a mitigation parcel meant for park use. The land was among several parcels designated as public space for mitigation of a piece of Gene Clark Park along Grand Boulevard, which was converted for residential development in 2004. The DNR did not know about the sale of the Harbortown parcel, said Steve DeBrander, the DNR manager of grants management. The DNR contacted the city about the problem last week. The construction site's fence runs along the block sidewalk in front of a sign on the plot that says City of Benton Harbor Open Public Space. The plot, about the size of the city block, was supposed to be designated as public parkland in perpetuity. Frankly, it's very frustrating, DeBrander said. Emergency manager Joseph Harris said Tuesday someone failed to record the property as a mitigation parcel, so that fact didn't come up in a title search. The title company isn't at fault because, quote, there wasn't anything there to miss, unquote. That's what Harris said. But Harris said he doesn't know whose responsibility it was to record the mitigation designation, the state or the city administration at the time the parcel was designated. I don't know who dropped the ball, he said. The parcel, called the Harbortown parcel because it's near the Harbortown development, was considered to be in good location because it would be near a residential development, according to minutes from a Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund board meeting. The city will have to find an acceptable replacement, Harris said. Mm. Liberty Dialysis is working with two other organizations to open the $1.8 million outpatient hemodialysis treatment center. A spokeswoman for Liberty Dialysis said the company deferred to the city on the property question. The city will have to replace the property with one of equal or greater market and recreational value, DeBrander said. We need to get this corrected, he said. DNR staff met with city officials to make sure the city knows which properties are mitigation parcels, DeBrander said. The DNR hasn't given the city a deadline to find a replacement property, but DeBrander said the DNR would make sure the city makes progress. Municipalities must follow a process to sell mitigation parcels, and the city's actions in this case violated the city's agreement between the DNR, DeBrander said. The city should have gotten DNR approval beforehand, but can remedy the situation by finding land to replace the property, he said. The replacement land has to be upland and developable. Wow, that's a word. Developable.
Yeah, developable. And what you just read is so tremendous. How much more you got left on that?
I would say that's only about half. Should I stop?
Oh. Yeah, well, I want to say something. See, that's what why we talk about that dictator. He had no right to do that. That's, once again, taken from the residents of Benton Harbor. That's exactly what this is all about. They figure like this, the residents in Benton Harbor, they don't know no better. We can take from them. Joseph Harris, he don't even live in the city of Benton Harbor. He's renting an apartment there, and yet and still we allow him to get away with it. Read a little bit more, because I got to let everybody clean up a little bit. So you take another 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll go back to everybody else.
Keep reading?
Yeah, keep reading.
Okay, I just want to say that he has no right to do this.
That's right.
The newspaper, Herald Palladium, does this report that makes it all sound very legitimate.
Mm-hmm. And they know it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Well, okay. We need to get this corrected, says DeBrander. DNR staff will meet with city officials to make sure the city knows which properties are mitigation parcels, DeBrander said. The DNR hasn't given the city a deadline to find a replacement property, but DeBrander said the DNR would make sure the city makes progress. Municipalities must follow a process to sell mitigation parcels, and the city's actions in this case violated the city's agreement between the DNR, DeBrander said. The city should have gotten DNR approval beforehand, but can remedy the situation by finding land to replace the property, he said. The replacement land has to be upland. Oh, I already read this. The DNR has issued several grants to Benton Harbor. Each time a grant is issued, a project area is designated, he said. That project area is supposed to be committed to public recreation in perpetuity. The Harbor Town parcel was chosen in 2005 as replacement parkland in exchange for about 4 acres of Jean Clark Park land along Grand Boulevard, but the property was an empty lot in June when officials from Liberty Dialysis, Lakeland Healthcare, and Lake Michigan Nephrology broke ground at the dialysis center. DeBrander said the DNR will have to look into whether the city should have been actively developing the parcel for use. If it should have been developing the park, it will have to develop the new plot, he said. Harris said he's been told the city cannot substitute a park that already exists, but will have to substitute vacant land and turn it into a park. There are incentives for the city to follow the DNR's rules. If the city were to turn around and sell this new mitigation parcel, the DNR could make the city ineligible for future grants, he said. If the DNR's regulations were to be blatantly disregarded, the DNR could take legal action against the city. And he said that he hoped to get compliance from the city long before that. This is DeBrander. So that's the end of the article.
Well, you know, that's beautiful. I was in court Thursday, and the city of Benton Harbor was in court again on another case. Everybody is suing the city of Benton Harbor under this guy, Joseph Harris, and I believe he's doing it on purpose. I can't believe that it could be this many lawsuits against the city. I mean, every time I go to the courthouse now, he's up there on a different case. So
So what are we going to do about it? Well, listen, Libby, you got something to say? You got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want, then I got to bring Ralph back on.
I think I'm done.
Okay, if you're done, I got to bring Ralph on. Ralph, are you there? Ralph Pointer. Let me bring home Mary. Mary, are you there?
Yes, sir, and I want to thank you again for coming to Georgia. If ever there was a state that needed somebody like you, a person who stands up and tells the truth, it is Georgia. Georgia was officially declared the most corrupt state in the union. They might cut me off, but I just want you to know, the money they're paying these stalkers to destroy my computers because I tell the truth. I want everybody to please go online and look up some of this truth that they destroy my computers every time I put it up there. That's Mary Neal, N-E-A-L, and I'm at Free, F-R-E-E, Speak, Blog. That's Free Speak, S-P-E-A-K, Blog. Because they really, I want you to know that video that I had of them killing Kelly Thomas, a mentally ill man in Fullerton, California, they pulled it off of my website, Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And I want everybody to know right now that the mentally ill and wrongful convictions, 5 to 10,000 a year declared wrongful convictions. That is the backbone of the prison industrial complex. It's mentally ill people, 1.25 million, and wrongfully convicted people. Americans are not the worst people in the world. We just have the most greedy people in charge.
That's
I want
right.
you to please help Reverend Pinckney to go where he needs to go. Help Reverend Pinckney to speak out and be able to travel. It's Georgia now, but it may be your town next. Your town probably needs someone like him right now. And he needs traveling money. He needs hotel money. He needs the banker organization to be financed. You finance your minister, and your minister ride by you and wave, maybe. This is a minister of God who's trying to do the work of God. Please help him. Go to BH Banco, B-A-N-C-O, and please get that address and send Reverend Pinckney $10, $20, $1,000. Some of these churches who are not doing the work of God, which is justice. God loves justice. Look it up. If you're
Amen.
Not doing anything about injustice, you need to support a man of God who is. So your church, your missionary board needs to raise a donation, cook some pies, and send a donation to a man of God, a bona fide certified minister that is actually doing what God said for all of us to do, and that is to give voice to the voiceless, stand against people who come against and oppress the poor and needy, and help those who are condemned to destruction. You know your church isn't doing that, so raise a donation, cook some pies, whatever you need to do, and send a donation on the part of your missionary board, on the part of your civic organization, to Reverend Pinckney. I'm asking you to do that in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Ralph, go right ahead.
Yes,
thank
Mary.
You.
It's just so wonderful. And Reverend, I'm saying to you, I'm very happy about this program. I'm very excited, and I'm very concerned about your bringing this in. But I would ask, you know, all of this information to people. Would ask Mary Neal. Mary, listen and give us a report, because this seems to be what you do best, is give us a report on this latest signature of our president on controlling the websites and our emails, et cetera, our electronic communication system. It is very important that people understand that. Mr. Obama has said it is very important for national security. And so I'll leave it at that. And this is, and you know, like I am just so overwhelmed by this program. My mind is going on, what did it say, tilt, because Reverend, your program brings so much information to the people like no other. In this country, they are writing on our minds with this television and this nonsense communication that when I listen in on this program, it is almost too much, because I'm not accustomed to hearing that much information, important information necessary to our well-being being transmitted in 1 hour.
Hey, that's it. Hey, thank you so much. Hey, Roz, go right ahead.
Okay. I want to tell everybody that God is in charge here. We want no one to lose hope, to join together to help your neighbor, to stand together and to speak up. This is so important. Tell everybody to listen in. I'm here in Southern California. It was God, only God, that brought me to Reverend Pinckney's show. This is a most incredible blessing. I am in awe all the time. I talked to Mary. We've become friends. And Ralph, I've learned so much. And Reverend Pinckney, you are such a man of freedom. You're against corruption. You want the America back for all of us. Free for every single person here, a wonderful education, not corrupt judicial system. We want freedom. We want our freedoms back for all of us. So I thank you. We are totally blessed. Reverend Pinckney, God has anointed you for this. You have your calling on your life. Everybody that can help, please send in. You've given all of us such faith. You've given me a voice. I'm going to practically lose everything, but I know that God is here, he's with me, and he has brought me here, which is just incredible. So everybody know that. Pray, believe, speak it. The blessings are coming. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Libby. Thank you, all the guests that's ever been on.
Reverend, may I ask people to tune in on Larry Pinckney's latest article on the Black Agenda Report, and tune in on LynnStewart.org, her latest statements.
And listen, I want you to tell Lynn Stewart that Reverend Pinckney said he loves her, and if it's necessary, we'll come out there and we'll picket that jail. We'll let them know what we stand for, because we're going to let people know that the jail system is not where Lynn Stewart's supposed to be. And we didn't get a chance to talk to a lot about her, but let her know that we love her, and let's keep up the good work, and just, you know, keep her head high, because I know how difficult it is, because I've been there. They got me for the same thing. They said I was in possession of someone else's legal papers, and they tried the same thing to me. Matter of fact, they was going to take me to the hole. But once I explained to them that, hey, what you're doing is wrong, they decided to drop all charges and let me go.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Praise
God. Reverend, I just want to say that I didn't get to go file charges on jealous, because a woman called me and told me, Mary, don't go down to the police station by yourself. And I thought about how they said they would taser me and arrest me for telling on the Johnny Cochran firm going around deporting black people. I said, well, now, if they're protecting Johnny Cochran firm, they're protecting Ben Jealous. So
that's
I'm
right.
going to do what they said. They told me to send the complaint to the sheriff by a certified mail. But I am putting in a complaint because Ben Jealous walking with one woman on his arm because they were about to kill our brother, that's Troy Davis' sister. He pushed me when I tried to give her a flyer. Why didn't he want her to have a flyer telling her to boycott the justice? Why did that make him so mad he pushed me almost down? So the thing is that he pushing away one sister whose brother this system killed, secretly arrested and murdered him, and he didn't even have any charges. And that's what he did. So I am going to press charges against Ben Jealous, because I am 20 years older than that man. He got no business pushing around black women for handing somebody a pamphlet that would have helped them, I do believe.
Wow, that's amazing. But on that note, we have just ran out of time. And remember, I want to read this last poem for y'all, because I just love this. It said, Whirlpool, what a whack company. Whirlpool is a natural catastrophe. Whirlpool, it drags you under the sea. Whirlpool, what they do to Benton Harbor residents, they can do to you and me. On that note, I got to say good night. And listen,
good night.
I will talk to everybody in the future. God bless all y'all, and we'll announce you all next week, same time, same station.
Hey,
all right.
Bring your friends.
Bye.
Bring your friends with you next time.
All right.
God bless
then.
Everybody.
And call the FBI for LAUSD.
All right. Take care.
Bye.